The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Doctors, and with me, Dr. Denothra Archer Cartwright. Please, thank you for coming in tonight with another interesting show on all things health, wellness, and that pertains to the Bohemian Society. Sorry for the awkward start. I can't seem to hear anything on my end, but I'm being reassured that we are on air. And so we're going to continue on with the show tonight. So I hope everybody's had a wonderful, wonderful holiday. My holiday goes quite long during this time because I celebrate my birthday in January. So I go from Christmas straight into my birthday. And so it's kind of an extended holiday for me that goes into Passover the 10th. So I hope everyone had a great time. I hope you got to spend time with your family. And I hope you got time to reflect on everything that happened last year and how this year can be even better. So welcome to the show. We've got an interesting topic tonight, but I want to say brought to you, of course, by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical and healthcare needs. We are a full family medicine practice, so children, adults, everyone, immunizations, everything. We do clinical management and care, chronic disease management. So check out our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com. You can also reach out to us on Facebook and, of course, Instagram, which is medical_concierge_services. And you can give us a call, 326-1521. And our new WhatsApp line, 432-4010. So 432-4010, and you can WhatsApp us, and we can assist you if you need to get an appointment or to book with us. Also, you can also sign up with NHI with us on there. So that's really helpful, especially if you're trying to get your annual physical done this year. Give us a call and we can help you set that up. Now, before we get into my main topic, I just want to bring up a really interesting conversation I had today. I kind of wanted to dispel a little bit of a mistruth that I found today when I was having a very vigorous conversation with some gentlemen in a particular place that sometimes I hang out and get coffee and stuff. I will not name that place unless they're sponsoring us, but I do pass through quite often at different spots and, you know, for coffee and different stuff. So we had an interesting conversation while we were waiting on our coffee. And the discussion was about the ratio of men to women. So apparently there's a weird understanding of how many men there are in the world to women. And so these gentlemen were trying to explain to me why some men need to go out and multiply and, you know, be with various women because they're just doing a service to the world because there's less men than women and all this stuff like that. So I tried to explain to them that the birth rate in terms of how many men are born to women, it's basically the ratio is 1:1. And even in some countries, you might have more men being born than women. And that although through life you have more deaths in certain areas, you know, some men go to jail and different stuff, it's relatively 1:1. They were talking all kinds of stuff about logic and all the stuff and statistics. So I said, you know, I'm going to give you the logic and statistics of all of this. But even though I made this argument and I gave them the statistics, they didn't believe me. They were set in their ways. So I just realized that there was this weird kind of understanding of that ratio. And I wanted to dispel that. So I just pulled up some statistics today at statistics.com. And you can look anywhere online for this. But it was just interesting to see how people think about this and kind of how people reason through some making some reckless decisions and why they make sense. But according to statistics.com, there are actually, this was a statistic from 2021, so I'm sure it's changed a little bit. And we did grow in population over the last year. I think we made like 8 billion people recently. So there was 3.97 billion males in the world. which represented 50.42% of the world's population. So actually, according to this particular statistic, there were more men in the world than women. The population of women stood at about 3.9 billion, which represented 49.58% of the world's population. So right now, in terms of people in the world, there are actually more men than women. And you look at countries like China, which has billions of people that favored having boys for many years over girls. So you can see how that is. And, you know, even reflecting on our country and thinking, hey, there may be more women than men. There's so many places in the world where the men outnumber the women for various reasons. So, you know, even that some people may go off of anecdotal information, we actually can see that looking at statistics, there are more men in the world for women. According to this world ratio in 2021, there were 101 or about 102. And if you look at different statistics, it goes as high to about 107 males born per 100 females. So as you can see, more men, more males were being born than females. And there were more females, a few more females up until about 1957. And then this kind of changed. And it's basically one-to-one with men just being a little bit more than women. The majority of countries in the world and regions in the world that have more females than men in some places, but in the places, the two top places, China and India, which are, of course, that I was talking about, they tend to favor having boys over girls. So they have a higher male population with quite a bit of a margin, and that's what really makes up the difference. Therefore, more males than female in the world because of China and India. But overall, like we said, there are more men. And in most countries, it's fairly close. If we look at the world gender ratio graph, we can see that they are pretty much right on top of each other. So I hope that dispels that myth of there being more women than men in the world. And if we're talking specifically here, the ratio is still quite close. And so that is not true. Now, what we are going to talk about tonight, very interestingly, is about genital hygiene. So we're going to look at what does that look like? What does a healthy vagina and a healthy penis look like for people all over the world? And what should we be doing to take care of ourselves and have that proper hygiene in place? That's going to keep us healthy in those regions. And so we want to dispel some of the myths and some of the things that are going around about the things that we maybe should be doing and what really is healthy for us as human beings. And we're going to look at it from a male perspective and a female perspective so that we can cover both sides because, you know, our men and our women slightly different there and they require different things. And so genital hygiene is really the concept. It's a broad term that looks at all of the behaviors and the care that needs to be practiced so that we protect our genital areas from infection, so that we maintain improved health, and so that we can keep the microorganisms away that are going to be harmful to us whilst maintaining the regular balance of those areas. And so those areas, those reproductive areas, can have quite rapid production of microorganisms that can cause infection in our reproductive systems. And these infections, if not treated, can lead to other health problems and specifically infections in the region increasing due to the lack of knowledge and just misbehavior or, you know, not doing the right things. So it's essential to basically keep our genital areas clean, and those persons with vagina, women, and their reproductive health are very important. It's really crucial parts of our body, and this area should be kept clean and dry and away from infection or any other problems. We know for women that it's normal to have a vaginal discharge, and this can be white, this can be clear, this is not an unusual thing. And if it comes out, if it's a different color or the smell changes quite a bit from your normal, this is when you would go and see a doctor. And for our men, it's also important to keep this area clean. And you want to do that when you have a bath. And don't forget to rinse and wash thoroughly. For men who have a foreskin, it's going to be important to pull that back and use with care and wash underneath it too. So you want to have good hygiene with your foreskin. That tends to be what makes the difference between men who are circumcised or uncircumcised. Because if not, you can have this buildup we call smegma, which is a very cheesy looking substance that can be underneath the foreskin. And that can lead to some health issues. And so if it's really uncomfortable for you to do that, you want to check out your doctor, you want to see, because that can become a breeding ground for infection in men. So that can be an easy way also to spread STDs and a lot of other infections. Also, if you find that area for our men is red or swollen, you want to make sure to go to the doctor, because you can get an infection there, you can get irritation, and you can also get an odor. So we're going to look first at women, and we're going to talk about feminine hygiene and why this is important. Why is this important for anyone who has a vagina? And then we're going to talk also about our men. All right. So feminine hygiene, definitely you want to prioritize this as a part of your genital health. And we mean anything that has to do with that area. And there's a lot of stuff out there. And one of the main reasons I did this topic is because sometimes we get patients in and they come in with certain problems down there. And they're like, they think it may be an STD. They think something is going on, or they're saying to themselves, you know, I'm in a monogamous relationship or I'm married. This can't be an STD. And sometimes it has to do with either hygiene or what they're doing down there. There are a lot of fads about how those areas are supposed to be kept clean. And some of these fads run people into serious problems. So it's really important to know what's going on and what you should do from what you should not do. So feminine hygiene is used quite frequently in this particular relationship. And so let's first look at what do we mean by feminine hygiene and what areas are we talking about? And so really we're talking about the vulvar area and the vaginal area. So the vagina is actually the internal part of our genital organs, and it is the canal, and that's where babies basically come from. And the vulva area is going to be the external part of a female genitalia, and that is the outer part of what people call the lips, and it also contains the labia, the clitoris, and the vestibule. So that is the outer area that you can see, and the inner area is where the actual vagina is. And so what age should you really start this routine of good vaginal hygiene? As early as possible. So it's really important for parents, especially if you are maybe a single parent, as in a man taking care of a young lady or an adult woman who has sons, important to really get them started. So for our girls, it's really important that parents start explaining to their children just the way that we teach them to clean their teeth or brush your teeth, their toes. You have to explain to children how they should tend to their genital area. And a typical routine, it consists of different things. And so like with all things in health, it starts internally with the things that we do and the things that we eat. So our entire body requires nutrients, even our genitalia area. And especially in our women, we'll find that a lot of things that we eat really reflect on the health of our genitalia. So what we eat and drink affects your vulva and your vagina. And in the same way, we have to think about the foods that we eat. And so to maintain the most optimal health in that area for our women, there are some recommendations of foods or nutrients that we need in order to keep that area healthy. And we're talking about foods that are going to be high in antioxidants, foods with vitamin E, vitamin C. So, you know, that would be a lot of our citrus fruits, omega-3 fatty oils, our omega-6, our proteins, and of course, for some people, probiotics. I tend to be neither here or there with probiotics because for me, if you maintain a normal balance and pH naturally, there may not be a need for probiotics. But in some circumstances, you know, there seems to be some information that's coming up that probiotics can be quite helpful. The other aspect is the cleaning itself. And this is a process that you shouldn't have to guess about. So cleaning the area is super, super important. And what is one of the main things that we understand about our genital area, especially for women? The vagina is a self-cleaning area. So it self-cleanses. It's one of the most amazing things about our bodies. And for most women, is it is really self-cleansing. And so if you see any type of discharge, assuming that it doesn't have a new odor or a very unusual tinge in color, it is just the vagina functioning as normal. So we are expected that there is going to be a normal discharge. And usually this is going to be white. Usually this is going to be clear. Usually you have a regular consistency as women, and that can change throughout your menstrual cycle. So if there's nothing that's really off, this is just the vagina doing its normal cleaning duties. So that's important to know, because a lot of people think they need to do some type of thorough cleansing in this area, and it's just not true. Now, area that does need a bit of cleaning is the outer area, because there is skin in that area. So you do want to have some cleaning there, and you would wash that like you wash most of your other body parts. And you want to go really, really mild, you know, just some warm water. If you need a little bit of soap, it's going to be some fragrance-free soap. And you don't want to use anything rough. You know, you can use your fingers or just the warm water coming into the area. But this is not an area where you need to scrub or go overboard with any type of antiseptic soap or any type of antiseptic washes. And because this is where a lot of people get in trouble using harsh, fragrance-filled soaps or washes in this particular area. And this tends to throw off a person's pH balance and lead to the production of bacteria and other things that causes the discharge and the odor and stuff like that. So not all the time, these unusual things can be caused, even itching and yeast are caused, you know, by some type of STD, but it may just be something that you're doing in terms of what you're considering a hygienic practice. And so sometimes and many times I find that it's persons who are really trying to, you know, make sure everything is good in that area, or they're trying something new down there, and that's where they have this change in their pH, and that becomes a problem. Kind of some tips that I think are important after going to the bathroom, and especially for our young women, wiping is extremely important to know in the vaginal area. And you want to, of course, if you're just passing urine, you want to wipe front to back, making sure not to get anything from the rectal area, the anus, in the front. And so if you are doing both things, what you need to do is wipe those areas separately with a separate piece of tissue or anything like that. And this is going to decrease your chances of having any type of urinary tract infection, which can be quite common in women, and not something that's caused by an STD, but just maybe bacteria growing in that area. And so where how you wipe is extremely, extremely important. So you want to wipe front to back if you're just passing urine. And if you're doing both, you're going to wipe those areas separate with a separate cloth or tissue. All right. And for those that have bidets, they also suggest water in that area after passing urine is extremely important. And so those are kind of like tips that are going to keep that area really, really healthy and stop bacteria from being produced. So with women, it's a little bit more tricky because we have two areas that are very close to each other that we don't really want to get in contact with. And so that's what you want to do. Because that area for women naturally has a odor, naturally has a smell, and that is just absolutely normal. It's just anything out of your extreme is gonna trigger you to know that there's something different going on. Now, after sex is also important to decrease urinary tract infection. It's a good idea to pass urine before and to pass urine after. This gets rid of any bacteria that might have gotten in the region. So if you find that you're having a lot of urinary tract infections, and you know you keep on testing negative for any forms of STDs, then this might be something that may really, really help you. Because peeing really cleanses the urethra, which is the tube, which allows you to urinate. For women, that tube is very, very short. And so it's easier to get just little bits of bacteria that are not common to you in that area. So you want to go to the bathroom. You may even want to wash with some water or take a shower. And this is going to keep that part clean, but you're not going to do any internal rubbing or any scrubbing in this area because that can actually turn off your pH. Any forms of grooming, people talk about hair and whether this is something that's needed or not. Well, the pubic hair has some biological purpose. So cutting it off, some people think it's more hygienic, some people don't, but it is kind of a protective barrier as well. It really protects the delicate vulva area and decreases friction during intercourse or any other activities that might cause friction in that area. So if you do remove that hair, you have to be careful because you have to make sure you're using a proper shaving technique because you can get ingrown hairs, you can get cysts in that area. And so you need to use a very fresh blade every single time or you want to have a professional do that. And when you're done, dry the razor and store it away if it's a continual use razor. And you want to watch out for any kind of ingrown hairs. Also, if there's rust or mold on the razor, you want to throw that away. And so those are things that can get you into problems. So despite what people thinking that hair may be removing it is more hygienic, the hair actually is really, really protective for that area. And so if you just naturally want to have less hair, you can do that. But you want to be careful and make sure that you're using the right tools. All right, so if you do all the steps and you still get ingrown hairs and any irritation, you might want to look at the way that you're shaving and use something that's going to be very, very sensitive on the skin. But see, sometimes too much of that shaving is going to actually create these ingrown hairs and these other problems. So if you're having that problem, maybe you need to ease up for a while. Maybe you just need to trim if you're growing a lot of hair in that area and it's uncomfortable, but it's not super, super necessary. A warm compress on these ingrown hairs can be very, very helpful, and it can help to open the pores and just get out all of that stuff inside the follicle. So you want to start there before you need to maybe seek some type of medical attention. But if that comes with any unusual kind of discharge, foul odor, or if there's pain, you want to reach out to your doctor because this is going to be something that may need to be incised, especially if it becomes an abscess or something else. So you want to watch out for that, especially my diabetics, because you tend to produce abscesses more often. So if you're seeing something like that happening in that area, you do want to reach out to your provider and they'll be able to tell you if it's just an ingrown hair or if it's an abscess or anything else that you need to be concerned about. So you really don't need to be worried about soothing the vulvar skin if there's any form of irritation. And you want to keep away from products that are going to be very fragrant or strong. You want to, stick with something that's working for you. So not switching often with different types of soaps or different fragrances. So mild is always going to be better. I like to advise a soap that's either hypoallergenic or just a white mild soap like a Dove or something like that that's unscented. So you want to stay away from those things. And you can use a little aloe vera if you have any irritation on the area, but not in the vagina, but we're talking about the outside. So if you do continue to have any type of irritation, of course, you're going to talk to your physician. So you want to monitor. The best way to know if there's anything wrong in that area, if you're having problems with your hygiene, of course, is to monitor. So you want to always kind of look at what is going on down there and look at any discharge that's coming from there, the smell, and of course, the feel. And you can do this usually in the shower when you're taking your bath. And you can look at your underwear and kind of know what your pattern is and what normal discharge looks like for you. And, you know, and regularly go to your doctor. So if you're getting checkups, if you're doing your annual physicals, if you do your pap smears every few years, you know, these are really going to be great opportunities for you to make sure that your vaginal hygiene is okay. So there's a comment online, Julian Johnson. I had to get an IND because of shaving my arm with a dull razor and changing deodorant. I was told not to burst them either. The warm compress helped. Yes, very, very true. Because yes, it's very similar, that groin area and the axilla or the armpits area, they tend to have very similar composition of skin. And so you'll find very similar issues in those places. And I see a lot of people do end up having those abscesses underneath the arm from shaving or from using a deodorant that irritates them. So very, very common thing that happens. But as you said, if those continue to happen, you can end up with an IND. And when she says IND, she's talking about incision and drainage, where the doctor would actually, and this is very common, I have to do it in my office, actually go in there and open that up a little bit, just a simple procedure where we go in there, we open up that abscess, we make sure all the pus and everything is out of there, and we make sure it's nice and clean and it's going to drain, and then we just check on it. And some people do require antibiotics if it comes down to that. All right. So if you are sexually active, of course, you have to think about STDs. And so, and this is all types of sexual activity, any penetrative intercourse, you're going to have to worry about an STD. So it is not just vaginal penis, but any form of penetration, you're going to have to worry about that. So I would say for everybody, you know, get your status checked. Especially for those not in a monogamous relationship, if you are concerned, we do say about every 6 months is a good time to just go and get everything checked. And of course, please protect yourselves. As a Christian, you know, I believe in abstinence before marriage, but for everyone who's out there and, you know, if you are sexually active, please take care of yourself. Please protect yourself and get checked when you need to, so that you know what's going on with your genital health. Also comment on there. Okay, good night, Claudette Grant. Thank you for listening online there. And then we have another comment. The packing was painful. Oh my God, so glad you bring about awareness. Very informative. Yes, Caroline Cartwright, thank you also for listening. Yes, so the packing is optional depending on the size of the abscess. I tend not to pack all of my abscesses just because, yes, it is uncomfortable. And then sometimes I think it's best to just naturally let it drain. And that's why you would probably do a follow-up. But there are different techniques to IND. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just want that to heal up. So I'm glad that you are feeling better as well. And so for our pregnant women, it's especially more conscious for you when you talk about bacteria, because, you know, when you're pregnant, just your whole body kind of changes. Your hormones are very different, and you're a lot more prone to things like infection. So you want to be really looking at your vaginal hygiene as well. And so for our pregnant women and those who are going through menopause, just a little bit more emphasis. You're going to do your vitamin E, your vitamin C, a multivitamin for your age, and collagen and protein. That's going to be for our women who have gone through menopause. And that's just going to be great because it's going to help with moisture down there, which changes at this point in your life as a woman. And so these additional supplements are really great moisturizers, right? And so let's just talk a little bit about douching, steaming, and other trends. And then we'll talk about our guys. We're going to get our information in here for our men. Yes, Citizens for a Better Commonwealth of the Bahamas, thank you for joining. He says, good night, Dr. D. Archer. Very informative. And so very, very important. Douching, steaming, and other trends. Just don't do it. All right. So I've had quite a few people come in and say they were doing like steaming pots and all of these things that they're seeing online and TikTok and all these places like that. Just don't do it. Simple is going to be best. And a lot of these trends seem fun, seem to make sense when people explain it to you, but they are really not good for your genital area. There are really usually no benefits to a lot of these trends, and they can definitely cause active harm. So douching, which is the act of washing the vaginal canal with water or soap or a water-like mixture, it's a lot less popular now because we've seen that a lot of people have had issues with this because it basically alters the natural microbiome in the vagina in that area. It just changes everything, and then you have the abundant, the opportunity for bacteria that's not supposed to be there because sometimes you wash away the good ones or the stuff that all the substances that are there to really keep you in balance. So this is really a problem, and it moves your natural defenses and allows things that would normally not grow there to grow there. And it's going to be very, very problematic and lead to infection. So douching, steaming, all of these trendy things that are out there, just gonna say no. It just messes with your vaginal defenses. It can lead to very painful or unsavory risks and literally burn the vaginal tissue or the vulva tissue, right? So this can be a painful experience. So just don't do it. If you're thinking about something and you're not sure, you know, you want to go to your doctor and just kind of get some advice about that. But most of that stuff, it's not going to be good for you. Is there anything else you should avoid doing or using? Anything marketed to feminine hygiene is a no-go. You really want to go simple as possible. So anything that says pH balancing, remember the vagina, the vulva, it's self-cleansing, self-balancing. And so you want to manage that with the simple techniques that we talked about earlier, and you don't want to really add anything to that. So is there ever a time when you should go to a doctor? Yes, you see your healthcare provider if you notice that there's a change, if there's a change in the look, the feel, the smell, you want to go and get that checked out, especially if that's not going away. And after a while, you get to know your cycle, because all through the month, you're going to see slight changes in your discharge in the thickness and consistency, but you will know when there's a drastic change that you need to go and see someone. So that was a lot on the women. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about just a few more points for women, but we're going to hit our guys and just what should you be doing as a man? It may not be as simple as you think. So we'll be right back after a quick break with me, Dr. Danuthra Archer. The doctor is in.
First installment of Fish Fry Fridays promises to be a classic. Friday, January 27th, it's a massage throwback to the days of 601. As former lead vocalist Colin Nasty Boy McDonald reunites with Sean Wild Boy Ferguson and the rest of the Massage Excitement Posse. It all goes down at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, at the 12 Volt Bar. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. $25 entry fee. Or enjoy the fish fry buffet for only $55 before the event and enjoy complimentary access.
Who is it? It's the plumber. I've come to fix this.
Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, and Visage presents a special edition of Fish Fry Fridays with special guest Colin McDonald. Friday, January 27th, Fish Fry Fridays.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Intro music in the background, so I'm going to assume that we're back on Guardian Radio 96.9 with me, Dr. Jenotha Archer Cartwright, family medicine specialist and patient educator, brought to you, of course, by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical health needs. Remember that we are not only a family medicine clinic, we also do home care services, so give us a call, 326-1521, or our WhatsApp, 432-4010. Tonight we're talking about genital hygiene. We were talking first about in general and in women, and we're going to kind of summarize all of that, and then we're going to talk a little bit about our men just to make sure they also get covered and they know how to take care of themselves. And so, of course, with our women, we want to know that we also wash our hands before and after using the toilet, and if we're touching anywhere near our genitalia, the area should be cleaned with water. We're going to go front to back, and we should keep that area clean and dry. It's better to take standing showers for women instead of baths. Most of the time, baths encourage urinary tract infections, and we see that quite often with women who like to bathe a lot, especially if you're putting things inside of the water. And so you want to cut down on your bath as you become an adult woman. You know, it's a little less for kids. They tend to be able to get away with baths as young children. But for women, as we get older, the baths can be a problem. All right. You want to stay away from any vaginal douching, steaming, or any of these trends that are going on with vaginal hygiene in that area. And that's going to help you preserve the natural vaginal flora. You want to stay away from any substances that can lead to allergies, such as deodorants, perfumes, sprays, powders that can be used to clean the vaginal area. And of course, cotton underwear. This one a lot of people know. If you are having any problems in that area, it can be simply changing the type of underwear that you are wearing, because that area does need ventilation. And so cotton tends to be better for that. And so if you're wearing a lot of synthetics, this may be problematic. Also, just hot water or warm water and soap is preferred for cleaning underwear. You want to go simple detergents, so not a lot of powdered detergents. I find that some women, when they do use powdered detergents on their delicates, they can get a bit of irritation from that. So you do want to go really simple on when you're cleaning your underwear. And you want to do well-rinsed cotton underwear, of course, as we talked about. We're going to open the phone lines, and then we are going to talk about what's good for our gentlemen. So the phone lines, if you have a comment, if you have a concern or a question, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. So we got to talk about the men, because as we talked about earlier, there's actually in the world more men than women, believe it or not. And so this concept that there are more women out there, that's only for certain countries. There's actually a lot of men out there. So for our guys, it's going to be pretty simple, but we need to include them. It's very important that they also wash their genital areas every day. All right. And that's all of it. Everything's external for a man. So their penis, their scrotum, the rectal or anus area, all of their pubic hair, everything needs to be washed with soap and water, because everything is on the outside. Everything there is going to be covered with skin. So it's a little bit different from the vagina, that's very, a lot more delicate and doesn't need all of that and does a lot of self-cleaning. Guys, after you pass urine, you want to make sure that you expel all the drops of urine off of that area, and you want to make sure and wipe it dry. Now, I see a lot of guys don't do that, but you want to keep that area as dry as possible. You want to get rid of all of that excess urine, because that can be a nidus for things to grow in bacteria. So I don't know, maybe like a bidet for men or something like that, or just wiping that area. But I realize that a lot of men, they just kind of don't really worry about that, but it's really good for your genital hygiene to keep that area dry as well. In the anus or the rectum, should be wiped dry with tissue or cleaned with water after a bowel movement. And so that will keep that area pretty clean for you. And you must make it a habit to wash your hands after passing urine, after cleansing the rectal area or anywhere that your hands might have touched in terms of the genitalia. So it's going to be very important for our guys, get your hands washed, to really have that good hygiene. And so you also want to look at the base of the penis and the testicles, and that area needs to be cleaned daily, and that will avoid you from having a really an odor or sweaty smell from any pubic hair you may have, because we have some of our guys are a little less inclined to like shave or remove that area. We tend to be in a hotter climate, so if you feel like there's an odor there or you just get really, really sweaty, you just want to wash in that area as best as you can for our guys. So overall, our genital hygiene is really, really important. You kind of figure out what is the trend or what is kind of like the process that you want to take. And you do the same thing every day. And that way you can kind of know if there is a difference. It may be because of something you did differently or something that you added to your regimen. But if you keep a simple regimen every day, all the time, you're going to be able to keep your hygiene up. So it's important to maintain a really good hygiene, keeping the body clean and free from any harmful germs or bacteria. Regular ensures that the area is clean and stays healthy. There's certain types of bacteria which can only be found in those areas. So that's when we talk about balance. We don't want to remove them, and that's why we don't use strong or offensive or antiseptics in that area. They are harmless because they are important for maintaining the skin in its healthy state. However, you don't want to have excess buildup of bacteria, and you want to wash adequately in the skin in that area. Now, the last thing that I'm going to talk about is going to be an article for our pregnant women. And we're just going to look at how things are just a little bit different in that. So I looked at an article. It's coming from the National Library of Medicine. It's called, producer, let me know. I can hear sounds in the background. So let me know if there's something else going on. And then I'll just give the phone lines one more time. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Okay. And this article from the Journal of Public Health, basically, it was actually done in Africa. They looked like genital hygiene behaviors and practices It was a cross-sectional study, a descriptive study among antenatal care attendees. So it looked basically at the female genital tract and the microorganisms that are there. It looked at the microflora, which constitute mostly of lactobacilli. Now, for some people, if you do a test and they tell you there's lactobacilli there, you might think, hey, that's bacteria. But that's actually the good bacteria that's going to keep you really, really healthy. And it keeps away these other opportunistic infections. And so it's a good thing. So our urinary tracts are frequently in pregnant women. You have a lot of UTIs. And so this is due to the physiological and the anatomical changes that you have during pregnancy. And these infections can lead to disabilities and serious health problems for both the mother and the newborn. So once again, for our women, even in pregnancy, they looked at vaginal douching and the reports of this particular practice and how this was associated to urinary tract infections. They also looked at the benefits of vaginal cleaning and infection prevention in these women. And the aim of the study was to really assess how pregnant women's behaviors and practices regarding genital hygiene affected their health. And what they found during this cross-sectional descriptive study was that within the sample of these antenatal females that were coming, they collected just a bunch of data versus using questionnaires. And these self-administered questionnaires, they looked at all these different women. So they looked at over 80 pregnant women at the time period, and the majority of them who had intended some type of primary care educational course. So they were just kind of looking to see how educated were these women about their hygiene at the time. Many of them were in couples, and almost one in three of the participants identified that they had at least one antenatal consultation, and they looked at that. And so they also looked at what type of underwear these women were wearing, and a lot of the other gynecological measures that were being taken at the time, how they were cleaning, whether they were using water or were they using some other substance to clean in that area. And almost one in four of the participants also mentioned using some type of antiseptic solution for genital cleaning. Antiseptic solutions were associated with the use of water. So, quite a large chunk of these women were still using some type of antiseptic soap or some type of substance in the cleaning. And so there is this kind of need for further education in this area, because there are a lot of myths and misconceptions that kind of go on when we talk about genital hygiene and health. And so in the case and they were using it mostly for the vagina. Their findings basically show that the knowledge in genital hygiene cleaning practices were acceptable amongst quite a few people in the study population, but there were still some risky practices that were going on in terms of the antiseptic use and also the use of synthetic underwear. So, synthetic underwear are going to be like a non-natural substances. So you want to maybe take a little look if you're having any problems with, your vaginal hygiene and you can't seem to figure out what it is. Take a look at the material that your underwear is made out of. And this can be a simple problem that can easily be fixed. So if you don't see cotton on there, and the thing about it is, yes, the cotton underwear are not going to be always the most, sexy or ones like that, but they're probably really good to sleep in if you're not a person who doesn't not sleep without. So you want to take that into consideration, and you want to use those synthetics a lot less often. So these were some of the issues. So skills of healthcare providers on good hygiene for pregnant women needs to be improved, and a community-based communication strategies needed also to be implemented to reach women of childbearing age. So they basically found that there could be some improvement. So nationally, in our obstetrics and gynes, and also, earlier on, just teaching these things to our young children, and whether they be boys or girls. So we'll take one more break, and then we're going to wrap it all up with me, Dr. D, on the Doctor's Zen. We'll see you in a moment.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Okay, welcome back to The Doctor is In with me, Dr. Janothra Archer Cartwright. We were talking tonight about hygiene, specifically genital hygiene, and what we should all be doing, both women and men. We summarized quite a few points for our women, and we also touched on some of the hygienic points for our men out there. We can't leave them out. They make up more than half of the world, and so I also welcome all of our men who are listening out there. And just to summarize and to throw a few more points in there, as we look at our women, we're going to just kind of summarize that. Remember that the vagina is a self-cleaning area. It does a lot of the work for you. So we do not have to be very intensive in this area. You're going to go warm water, warm, maybe a mild soap. We're going to stay away from douching or products that are trying to change or balance the pH, because a lot of that is done already. The vaginal area has a natural kind of odor or scent that doesn't change that much. And if there is a drastic change in the smell, the odor, or any kind of textural changes, that's when you're going to reach out to your physician to see if there is something going on. There are some great hygienic points we talked about, wiping from front to back and making sure that if we're wiping the rectal area, that is a separate area that we're going to touch on. And after you have any type of sexual activity, you want to go to the bathroom to make sure that you're removing bacteria from that region. And so having a good going and just urinating is going to be really, really important. You want to choose your products wisely, nothing that's going to irritate the vagina area. You want to stick with cotton underwear because that's going to allow the area to breathe, and it lets the natural moisture of that area not become a problem. So you want to stay away from nylons and other synthetics that are going to give you a problem and maybe even an odor or cause any irritation to the skin itself. Anytime you're wearing any sweaty or wet clothing, you don't want to stay in that for a very long time, because this can breed bacteria and that can change the pH of your body. And so to prevent that overgrowth from happening, you're going to change out of those clothes. And so a question that I'm getting here is that if you're on your period, should you use anything that's stronger? The answer to that is going to be no. If you feel like during your period there is a more of a stronger smell or something going on, you might want to just wash, do a gentle washing more often, have another bath rather than changing to something that's going to be strong and it's going to lead to you having problems after your period is over. So times when you should go to the doctor if you're having pain with urination or doing any sexual activity. If there is a very pungent and unpleasant smell that's coming from the vagina area that is not your norm, if there are any blisters, sores, or warts, if the discharge changes to a green, yellow, or gray color other than the color that you're used to, if it's very thick or cottage cheese, if you're having itching, very present vaginal itching, or any unexplained vaginal bleeding. And for our guys, we're gonna keep it very simple. You're gonna make sure that you wash the area every single day, all aspects of the genitalia. You're gonna keep your hands clean, and you're also going to ensure that you wash your hands in between any kind of contact with the genital or the rectal area. And this is going to be very healthy for you, and also keeping the penile area dry. So if after you've urinated, you want to make sure and move all the excess urine from that area. And if you need to wipe with something, you can do that. You're very different in terms of most of your genitalia is external. So you do want to do a good washing on the outside, the way that you wash all of the rest of your skin. So I hope this was very helpful to you. And if you need help, you can reach out to us at Medical Concierge Services. You can check us out on Facebook, Medical Concierge Services, as well as if you want to listen to any of the shows, you can check guardianradio.com, as well as our Facebook page, which is The Doctors In With Me, Dr. D. Give that a like, and you can see when all of our shows come on. So I want to thank you all for listening tonight. It was a really interesting topic. It's something that comes up quite often and some people struggle with. And sometimes these just these minor changes and knowing the details can be very helpful and take something that's been a chronic or constant problem and just gets rid of it and making your life a whole lot better. So I hope you all, and I wish you all great genital health. And I'll see you all next week with me, Dr. Dinodra Archer Cartwright, on The Doctor's In 96.9. Good night.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.